came to Juba as the SPLAIO to implement the peace agreement that we signed on the 12th September 2018. We have two periods, pre-transitional period, which runs for 8 months, and then we have the transitional period, which runs for 3 years. During pre-transitional period, we have a number of activities to be accomplished. In fact, we have 7 main activities that should be accomplished. This includes, but not limited to, dissemination of the agreement itself, which should be done by the parties. And then we have determination of the number of states and their boundaries. And this is the work entrusted to Technical Boundary Committee, which is TBC, and then Independent Boundary Committee, which is IBC. This is the two committees that will be working to determine the number of states. They have not yet actually done so. 6 months down the road. And we have also a process of national healing and reconciliation, which should be done also during the pre-transitional period. We have the work on the security arrangement activities. This is entrusted to JDB, which is Joint Defense Board, and then SDSR, JMCC, and CITISAM, which monitors the ceasefire. There are some work in progress in this. These mechanisms all are in Juba from our component. We have the incorporation of the River Talais Agreement, which should also be accomplished during the 8 months. We have been able to, you know, do some significant work to this effect, though we still have outstanding issues to do with the procedure of submitting the constitutional amendment bill, which we objected.
As SPLMIO.
As SPLMIO. We have referred these issues to the grantors. And then we are currently working on the security laws, the 6 security laws, the SPLA Act, Fire Brigade, Police Act, Prison, and so forth, National Security Act. Then we have one critical activity which should take place, which is working out devolution of powers and resources to the states and local governments. This one has not yet been done. We have disagreed as well on this. We have also referred the matter to the grantors in order to safeguard the agreement.
Okay, and these are very serious issues you have mentioned. First of all, let's begin looking at the dissemination of the peace process to the people of South Sudan. When your chairman came to Juba in 2018, on the 31st of December, at Dr. John Garang Mausoleum, he actually did mention that he's requesting the president so that the committee is formed from both parties to go out and inform the people about the content of the agreement. Why has it taken a long time now for the people of South Sudan to actually be sensitized about the agreement from both sides?
Well, as I told you earlier on, we are already in Juba. We actually expected a joint task force to implement this task of peace dissemination. We were surprised to see our counterpart, especially in the government, moving alone to some areas, leaving behind their counterpart, the SPLM, SPLAIO, and other opposition.
Have we raised that?
We expected. Yes, we have been raising this in different, especially the NPTC. They are following this one up. Meanwhile, we appreciate as well the exchange visit by our commanders in around the country, in Wau, in Equatoria, in Upper Nile, Unity State, in Kobo, and all these areas. They have been able to interact among themselves, the fighting forces themselves. This is very encouraging, and we encourage this one to continue. Recently, we had a confidence building in Pagheri, where the governor from the government side also came, and our team also went there, and we are planning another confident building in Torit very soon.
Okay, and now talking about the issues of the states and the boundaries, what is wrong with that? Is it not being followed up? Because I understand there's a committee that was formed, and it has got its chairperson and members. They're supposed to begin doing their work, and right now we are left with a few months to the end of the 8 months that was given in the pre-transition period.
Well, the two committees, first of all, TBC is now operational, but of course is much behind schedule. We expected their work to be done, to have been done within the first 3 months of the pre-transitional period, but now we're in the 6 month. Though they are working, you see, the work of the TBC will inform the work of IBC in order to help them determine the number of states and their boundaries. Unfortunately, IBC, the membership is not yet complete. The C5 countries that should have, you know, nominated membership to IBC have not yet done, including South Africa, who is supposed to lead the IBC itself. So we don't know. Now we are talking of 2 months left, and the number of states is not yet clear. And this critical committee is not even in place, the IBC. It is the recommendation of the IBC at the end that will, you know, determine how many number of states that South Sudan will have.
Okay. You mentioned that the critical point of view here is the devolution of powers to the state. Why did you say maybe, for example, it's so critical? Because all components within the agreements are very important to the people of South Sudan.
Well, you know, the agreement itself is a federal agreement. In the preamble, paragraph 5, it states very clear that federalism is the popular demand of the people of this country. And it will only be reflected now, straight away, by devolving more powers and resources to lower levels of government, that is the states and the local government levels at the counties and the PIAM. This has been a core aspiration of the people of South Sudan since 1947. The conference that took place in Juba ratified this, launched this one, and then it has been an issue with the Khartoum-based regime that the Southerners wanted a federal, you know, Sudan, but they could not achieve. In lieu of that, then South Sudan seceded in 2011, with the same aspiration still ongoing and burning in the hearts of South Sudanese. So it is very critical that this popular demand should be addressed. And if federalism is a popular demand of the people, we are now asking, where is the will of the government?
Okay, if you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin, and my guest today is Honorable Oyet Nathaniel Pierino, a member of the National Constitutional Amendment Committee from the SPLM-IO side, and we are discussing more about the agreement. And if you have got any questions, our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call us on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines, so you can send us a short SMS on 0912177141. Yes, Oyet, let us talk about the committee in which you are. That is the National Constitutional Amendment Committee. So far, give us an update. What is being debated right now?
We are now working on the security laws, as I told you. We are reviewing and amending them to conform with the provision of the agreement. We have some outstanding issues with regards to the name of the army.
The SSPDF?
Yeah, the name of the army. The SSPDF, unfortunately, is not in the agreement. The name of the army in the agreement is the South Sudan National Army. Now, we say this name is, you know, in the agreement, and it is descriptive. And we said we want the parties to agree on a definite name.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me, on a definite name which is, you know, clear and not descriptive.
Should that be an issue to the implementation or the discussion of anything to do with peace in South Sudan? The name?
Yes, of course. A sovereign republic like South Sudan must have the name of its forces. Should not just be, you know, descriptive. So this is an issue which we are taking back to the parties in order to determine that.
And we understand, like you mentioned earlier, that you petitioned the chairperson of the NCAC on the recent bill that was presented to the Ministry of Justice. Could you elaborate why?
Yeah, we petitioned the chairman of NCAC on the procedure it took to submit the bill to the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs of the incumbent Tignu, contrary to the provision of Article 1.18.6 of the agreement, which says the bill, Constitutional Amendment Bill, and the security bills should only be submitted to the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs of the revitalized
Tignu.
He went ahead to annul this provision and submitted the bill to the incumbent, you know, Minister of incumbent Tignu. So we are objecting this. It is a violation of the agreement, and we want the grantors to intervene.
So have they intervened already?
Well, they are in the process of intervening. We understand they have a meeting the first week of March, and also Sudan and Uganda are looking at having a mini summit on the follow-up of the implementation of the agreement.
Okay, so what are your concerns about the chairman of NCA submitting the bill to the current Minister of Justice of this Tignu?
Our concern here is the agreement should not be violated. The agreement should be implemented in letters and the spirit. We expected the submission to be done to the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs of the revitalized Tignu in conformity with the provision of Article 1.18.6. We understand now there is a process going on in the Council of Ministers, and soon it will also go to the Parliament to ratify the Constitutional Amendment Bill, contrary to this provision which I'm talking about, and contrary also to the process, because we got response from JEMEC, we got response from the grantors that they have received our, you know, objection letters, and they're looking into it.
Okay.
Now there is a parallel process which is going on, and this will, you know, jeopardize the implementation.
So does it mean the SPLM-IO have no problem with the bill, but their problem is submitting it to the current Tignu?
No. You have just asked me of a specific thing, and I've responded to that specific question.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we have issues with the bill as well. I told you we have outstanding issues on the system of governance, on devolution of powers and resources. Devolution of powers and resources is a pre-transitional activity which must be worked out and incorporated into, you know, this bill as per Article 1.4.3.7, and it has not yet been done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can join us on 091-206-2879. My name is Annie Martin, and my guest is Oyet Nathaniel Pierino, member of the National Constitutional Amendment Committee from the SPLM-IO. And if you've got any question, you can put that to him shortly when our lines will be open. Yes, briefly, let us talk about the issue of... So far, how will you describe the 5 or 6 months so far into the pre-transitional period? How is it moving? The commitment from both sides, the political will from all the signatories to the agreement?
A very slow process, a process marred with the, you know, lack of funds, a process, you know, affected by ups and downs. In the, you know, implementation, we are actually behind schedule by far, and we have not accomplished even, say, 75% of what we are supposed to accomplish during the pre-transitional period. We have not even united two soldiers. We have not done so. And now the end of the 8 months is coming by May. And though we are working like bees, we feel that there are other things that cannot be rushed. You have to, take them systematically, like the unification of forces. You must train these forces, you must orient them, and you must deploy them. And we feel that this may not only take 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why is the process so slow?
Well, I've just mentioned the issue of funding, and of course, we
funding from the donors, from within, and from what's wrong? Because according to the people of South Sudan, they may think maybe there must be at least a kind of commitment from within to show your political will and saying that, okay, I have this much, so I'm going to look for that much.
Yeah, that is essentially what is expected. What is expected is there will be a local source mm-hmm. of funding, which is predominantly from the government of the incumbent Tigonu. They have to inject funds to fund the process, which up to now it has not yet been done. And then also the donors community must also come on board mm-hmm. To fund the process. Of course, the peace agreement has a number of programs, reconstruction, repatriation, resettlement. We expect our people from POC to be resettled to their areas of origin, and all this will require funding. Okay, all this will require funding, definitely. Even the operationalization of the hybrid court, you will expect funding. Tigonu must, function with the funding and all this. So we expected all the stakeholders, whether the parties themselves, the incumbent Tigonu, putting funds, and also the donors putting funds in order for the process to continue.
Okay, and two quotes here. I'm going to quote you on, you spoke to some of the local media houses here in Juba. They are quoting you as saying that the amendment of the country's constitution does not reflect the revitalized peace deal. And also they're saying that they're quoting you to say there's no rush to form a new government. So within this remaining few months to the end of the 8 months, do you think all will be done and a revitalized Tigonu can be formed?
Well,
from the SPLM-IO point of view,
the 8 months has been one of the longest pre-transitional period ever. Mm-hmm. Even the CPA of 2005 was only 6 months pre-transitional period. There was a reason for the 8 months. And the reason I elaborated, determining the number of states, working out the devolution of powers and resources, unifying the army. You see, we don't want to form a government with different armies. I mean, when the armies are not united, and when you have a number of commander-in-chiefs in the country, we don't want the scenario of 2016. Essentially, that is what we want to avoid. But any rush to form a government, it will be unbaked, it will be premature. We need to fulfill the provisions of Article 1.43, the activities that will be undertaken during the pre-transitional period, the 7 activities that I've elaborated. Critical to this is also the number of states. The 32 states have caused a lot of problems around the country. Some of their, boundaries have taken lands from other communities, and all this must be resolved. And also we have to resolve how many states. You cannot form a government in Juba, and then you have no governments at the states.
Okay. Yes, you can call us right now. Our lines are officially open, and you can call us and be part of our discussion right here with my guest, Oyeta Nathaniel Pierino, a member of the SPLM-IO to the National Constitution Amendment Committee here in Juba. Hello, Redimira. Hello, Redimira.
Hello.
Yes, there is a radio next to you, please. Just reduce the volume. Thank you.
Yeah, close it already.
Thank you so much. Your name?
Thank you very much. And I also thank the guests in the radio, in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
My question, Tamanana, I want to talk in Arabic.
Okay.
So that everybody can
listen.
And then the other countries like EU, when they reject to sign. When they sign the peace, Munia Yasadum, Munkan Mako to that as an option. Yanita Bissai and Ajavis Sagit. Taman last time they say that they have reservation. Wes Mungal Munindu Molahazat, Itafagia, Okuma Kelimzir, Oboro Ajerega, Ajerikalimzir, as IO, that they have some reservation. This time the Western world they have reservation. Asa Mungi Kore, Gurus Mafi, Gurus Mafi. We come take a girl, Gurus Mafi, they say Ajerebinaja. Then I remember very well when I was very young during the Anyanya One. Anyanya One, Mafi support Khan Saduma Anyanya One Zira. Aye, Hajendo. Kulu, Jesh, the Grief, Sunu, Kulakib, Sunu, Moya, Kulufi. Even the CPA command the same thing. I can ask a Guru's Mafi, Tamanayan Guru's Mafi, Tam Bamala Jerikip. My question number two. Taman Asa Itam signed peace. I can say Nas Gitusman, Zepi Machaki Rasa Visto Ayan. Asa Itam Bamu Sun, Zul Letam Bulus Moke. My name is James.
Okay. Thank you so much, James, from Juba here, I believe. Yes, Oyet.
Thank you very much, James, for your question. Yes, you know, the revitalized forum from day one has been launched, as launched in Addis, has had the support of the international
community.
Communities. They have been in every process and even attending the negotiation sessions itself. They have been observing, they have been advising until we went to Khartoum and trust out the outstanding issues. And then we also went to Addis, Addis Ababa on the 12th of September to sign it. What transpired that the Troika and other partners refused
to sign
the agreement. Of course, it's beyond our comprehension and understanding. But what we know, they have been indicating to the parties that they want political will, first of all, to say the parties have really accepted peace. You know, what transpired in 2016 has not been a healthy scenario for this country, where leaders claimed there was peace being implemented, but at the same time war was raging around the country. These partners are very skeptical. They have put actually South Sudanese and the parties to task to prove that they can now work together. They can now bring back peace. They can restore security and peace and reconcile their population. This is what we see. There is also a critical question that they are asking, that if the parties are talking about funding or finances, there are other things that does not need finances. The political will, how much do the parties need in order to demonstrate their political will? How much, for instance, do the party need in order to release prisoners of war? How much do the party need in order to silence the guns? How much do the party need in order to, you know, implement some obvious provision of the agreement, including devolution of powers and resources? You see, how much do they need in order to release, for instance, Samuel Dong and Agri Idri? How much do they need to do so? How much do the parties need in order to lift the state of emergency? You don't need funding to just declare that I've lifted the state of emergency. You don't need funding to do that. This is one critical question which I see sense in what the donors are saying.
And the issue of the other fighting happening in around Ye town.
Well, we signed the agreement.
How can maybe you talk to those parties that did not actually sign the agreement and they are still against the agreement?
We signed the agreement as parties, and we have come to Juba to implement. Mm. But we understand there are other groups that are hold-out groups. Mm. And there are also other groups that are walk-out groups. They walk out of the negotiation. And there are others who do not want to be part of the negotiation. We understand they are causing skirmishes around the country and so forth. But on a positive note, we heard from IGAD at summit mandating the special envoy to talk to the hold-out group.
Ismail Wise.
Yeah, they approach General Malonga one. They also approach Thomas Cirillo to, you know, join the peace wagon. I don't want to, you know, speak on behalf of the Ismail Wise or on behalf of IGAD. It's already a mandate which is being undertaken.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can call us right now on the same number. Hello, Redimira. Hello, Redimira.
Hello, Sandy Martin.
Yes, your name?
You are connected with James Duarte in Tomping.
Okay, James Duarte from Tomping here. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, thank you with the program and getting the studio for the good explanation of what he is explaining.
Mm.
So my question to him is this. Since they are appointed, what are the achievements that they have achieved so far, and how far have they reached for the amendment of national constitution of transitional government? This one. Number two, what are the next steps that you are going to take after you reach the stage of forming the transitional government of national unity? So as it now, people are still, they are not even yet seeing what people are going to implement, because most of you are crying of funds, while the nation is a sovereign nation. We cannot cry of help from other people. So you are seeing like you are begging and you don't have a sovereign nation.
Mm.
So as now, what are your next plans for South Sudan to make sure that peace will be achieved?
Okay. Thank you so much, James from Tomping. Yes, Oyet.
Well, if James Dwar followed me from the beginning, mm-hmm. would have understood that we have activities that should be accomplished during the pre-transitional period. Okay? And I say, of all these activities like the incorporation, we still have outstanding issues mm-hmm. on IBC. IBC is not yet fully...
Yes, James, I want to know, on the positive note, what are some of the achievements that has been done so far in the last 5 or 6 months so far?
Yeah. I'm coming there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have these mechanisms that are working. Yes, they are working, but they are behind schedule.
Mm.
You see, that's what we are saying. But work is in progress. Our biggest challenge is the timeline in the implementation matrix. A pre-transitional period only is for 8 months, and you cannot go beyond without, you know, achieving or accomplishing the implementation of all these,
mm.
determining the number of states, which is not yet done,
mm.
Incorporating fully the agreement into the constitution, which is not also done. Yes, we had some dissemination. Even now, as I speak, I'm now disseminating the agreement. Dissemination have been going on, but of course, not everyone still has been reached. We expect to disseminate this agreement inside and outside the country. We have the security arrangements, our, you know, Joint Defense Board, the Strategic Defense and Security Review, and JMCC, CITISAM, they are working, and that is good. We now have the bills, the security laws being amended and reviewed. There is work in progress, but we're saying though there is this little process is going on, the timeline now is our bottleneck, and we have achieved very little.
So do you think you can meet the deadline with all what you're explaining?
Well, I don't see a deadline of the 8 months that we can meet to achieve all this.
I know it
And this takes me to his second question, that what is next? What is next? We expect the parties to sit down, to go to the drawing
board
in order to make full objective and critical evaluation of the implementation of the pre-transitional activities, and on that basis they will decide what to do next. Yes, they will decide what to do next. The NPTC is mandated,
the National Pre-Transitional Committee.
Yes, they are to coordinate and oversee these activities, and also by virtue of Article 1.4.7.4, they are expected to report progress to the parties, to RGMEC, and to other stakeholders. And on that basis also the parties can take it up if the implementation of the pre-transitional activities is much below expectation or below average. Something must be done, obviously, at the end of the day.
All right. You can still call us on 091-206-2079. Hello, Redimira. Hello, Redimira.
Yeah, thank you so much. You are connecting right at the Warmel in Pantau.
Okay, Isaac, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. In the first place, I would like to welcome our guest there in the studio. So as we have seen, there was some differences within the Committee of Constitution Making Process. So calling for the pre-transition to be extended is our will of the people of South Sudan. The people of South Sudan, when the transitional government of national unity to be formed, so that they can go for the election and elect the leader of the will. So when we are calling for the extension of the pre-transition time, this time, because it is a kind of what of prolonging the long waiting interest of the people, because the people of South Sudan now they want the leader to come together and reconcile their differences, and then they work together and go for the election. So my hope and Sani Morton led our leaders to stop such kind of perspective, and then join the hand together and work together as a leader of South Sudanese. And thank you so much.
Okay, Isaac, thank you so much from Panto. Yes, Howard.
Thank you so much, Isaac, for your observation. But as I told you, and the listeners, is that we have an agreement to implement for 8 months pre-transitional period and then 3 years transitional period. There are programs that should be undertaken, yes, including elections. Election is one of the critical program that will come towards the end of the agreement. Why was it done, made toward the end and not at the beginning? Because at the beginning, you have a number of activities that will be laying foundation even for elections. The security sector reforms, the Political Parties Act is going to be reviewed, which is to do with elections. The Electoral Commission is going to be reconstituted. The electoral laws will be amended and reviewed. And you will also have permanent constitution making process kicking off, okay, to bring a permanent constitution. If you have read, we have only transitional constitution of the republic, transitional every year, every period from 2005 up to 11, 2011, up to, 13, from 2013 to 2015, extension of the mandate of the government without elections. Then you have, again, in 18, again, extension of the government without any elections. Yes, we want elections so that South Sudanese will vote for their leaders. But we need to prepare the ground for the elections. We need the reforms to go on. We need half of our population who have, taken refuge in the neighboring countries to be brought back home. You cannot go for elections with only half of the population in the country. Okay. We need repatriation. We need people from the POC to go back to their homes.
Okay. Nathaniel, are you confident with the process so far happening in Juba here, the implementation so far?
Well, I've already indicated that we have achieved very little, and much is yet to be done, but within a very limited period. That's why we're saying we expect evaluation by RGMEC, evaluation by NPTC, and evaluation by the parties in order to take a decision on what to do next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, your final remark. You mentioned a lot of issues, the dissemination of the peace process to the people of South Sudan, and also the devolution of powers. These are some of the issues, and then also the incorporation of the agreement into the NCAs. So with all this, what can the people of South Sudan expect from the parties to the agreement now? Because the people of South Sudan only expect peace, no more gunshots, no more unknown gunmen on highways, no more IDPs, no more refugees, people should go back to their villages and begin rebuilding their livelihood.
First of all, we already have an agreement that the parties have signed. And this agreement is not for the parties. The agreement is for the people of South Sudan. The agreement is for the people in the POC, is for the people in the refugee camps, is for the people in the private sector who wants to see a vibrant economy. The agreement is for the fighting forces to cease fire, to implement permanent security, permanent ceasefire. So we expect to work and implement this agreement. Yes, we are noting now that we are very slow and we are behind schedule, but we cannot stop working. We have to push on and continue working to implement the agreement. Where we have challenges, the parties must sit down and the grantors must also sit down in order to chart a way forward.